Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today is Thursday, August 29th, 2013, and my name is Sally Baptist. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Tonight, I'm going to talk about what it means to be an American. You know, it just seems like, especially after what we've just seen with the Martin Luther King Jr. Anniversary, that we as people, we the people of the United States, we have a major, major identity crisis going on right now. We seem to have lost any sense of who we are. We don't seem to know what it means to be an American. And it's definitely not my words, but it's so true. United we stand, divided we fall. And we have these different groups out there that are determined to divide and conquer. They want to divide us in two factions. We see this with our president, who claimed he was going to be a uniter. You know, the first black president of the United States was going to bring everybody together, and he has made us more divided than ever before. And but, I mean, he couldn't do it alone. There's a lot of other factors in there. But he could, as a black president, as a black American president, he had such an opportunity to bring us together, but he has done everything but that. His main focus was to give people phones, cell phones, you know, and crazy things like that. So I want to talk a little bit tonight about the identity crisis we're having. What does it mean to be an American? And there's a couple of things that I happen to believe quite deeply in, and I've shared them on the show before, but I'm going to share them again because it's very relevant to this very discussion. Who are we? What do we stand for? What does it mean to be an American? And then I'm going to get into a couple of things in reference to the Catholic Church, which is really disgusting to me. But first off, let's go into my favorite of what you should be embracing if you truly believe in America. Now, the things I'm saying, you know, if you're a Muslim Brotherhood, you're not going to believe this. You're not going to support this. If you're a La Raza who wants to take over the Southwest and doesn't want to be an American, a Latino, anti-American Latino, you're not going to want to listen to this. If you're the Chinese nationals who want to take down America, you're not going to want to listen to this. These are for true Americans who believe in this country, who believe in the Constitution, who the American patriot who's willing to get involved and save and protect the future of this country. So that excludes a lot of people we have in our country today, those who are in within the boundaries of the homeland, who want to see us fail, who want to divide us. And I'm telling you, some of them are in public office today. Some of them, you know, some of them are illegals. Some of them are green card holders. Some of them are Americans. We have allowed the antis to invade our country. And it's up to the American patriots to push the antis back out. They don't belong here, and they want to destroy us. And you know, when I talk about this, when we talk about Martin Luther King Jr., people like Al Sharpton are anti-Americans. They want to divide us. They don't want us to be a united people. They don't want to promote American values. They don't want people to be equal. Because he's out of business. He can make no money if he can't be out there playing the games with the race card. He wants to divide. That's all. He cannot make his money if he doesn't divide us. So anyway, let's go back to the American's Creed. And many of you, you've heard this many times on here before, but, you know, if you would say the Pledge of Allegiance every day, which I actually say the American's Creed every day, that's what this is. Because I actually like the American's Creed better than the Pledge of Allegiance as to what this country means to me and how I take my oath to this country. Okay, I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed, a democracy in a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon the principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity, for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. And this was written in 1917, and it was accepted by the United States House of Representatives on April 3rd of 1918. And this is by William Tyler Page, The American's Creed. This is what you believe. If you truly believe in this country, this is what you believe. If you don't believe, if there's anything on here that you don't believe in, then you're probably not what I would call a pure American. I mean, you might be an American in a legal sense, whatever, but you're not an American if you really just don't believe in these things. And I say that with a little bit of hesitation where it says to obey its laws. Well, when the laws are unconstitutional, that's when I have a problem. Constitutional laws, and I obey the laws because I'm not what you call a very lucky person. I'd be the first one in jail, you know, for those kind of things. But we need to defend it against all enemies. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, and to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. That is such a powerful statement. Defend it against all enemies. Now, in this particular case, you know, the oath of office for the senators and the representatives and this and the president and stuff, it all says to defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Well, all enemies covers both. And we have to understand that there are enemies amongst us. There are enemies within our country. There are Americans who want to destroy America. And the core that we have to do as Americans is to defend the Constitution, to support and defend that Constitution. Let's go through the laws and see how many of them are unconstitutional. And think about all those who, the American patriots that have sacrificed their lives and fortunes. And we are a sovereign nation of many sovereign states. We're no longer sovereign states. The federal government has taken over the states. So, again, we have violated the Constitution. We have violated state constitutions. We have violated the federal constitution. We have got to get back to a constitutional principle. We have got to reinstate and restore what it means to be America. America is the American people, and that is to say a smaller national sovereign nation at a federal level and many sovereign states. Right now, we have no state sovereignty, not really. It's been so torn apart by the federal government that we truly no longer have sovereign states. And a lot of that's, you know, it's the money grubbing. It's all the different things of human nature. You know, when they say greed is the root of all evil, just look to the government. Look to those in public office. Look to the games that get played. The federal government taking more and more money and then dishing it out to the states, holding the states hostage. It should be totally the other way around. That federal government should be there for basic key functionality that protects all of us, military and national defense, infrastructure, various things that go across the boundaries of the states. But that's it. Which, of course, means no health care, crapola, no cell phones. You know what? If there's a nanny state that wants a if there is a state that wants to be a nanny state, a welfare state, like Massachusetts, then go ahead and charge your people 50% tax on everything, take 50% of their income, and give it out to the welfare people who don't want to work, if that's what you believe in. And go live there. If that's what you like, if that's what you believe is right for you as an American, go live in Massachusetts. If that's not what you like, if you believe you should be as independent and free as possible, then you better choose another state. And Massachusetts, the Northeast, is much more of a nanny state, no matter how you look at it, when you have crazy mayors going out there telling you how much salt you can use every day and how much soft drinks you can drink and all these other crazy things that they do. That's the nanny state. And if you really do think you need the mayor, to be mommy or daddy and say, it's time for you to go home. No, you can only have one piece of candy today. Then then go live there. But that's not me. That's to me not what being an American is. Okay, there's another one I want to read here. And this, I have this one posted on the show page. And it's just so true. It is so true. And when you think about, as I'm reading this, think about Martin Luther King. Now, this isn't from Martin Luther King, but this is everything I've always believed of what Martin Luther King Jr. stood for. This is it. This is what he believed. He wanted equality. He didn't want welfare. He wanted equality. He wanted the same opportunity. He wanted the right to be an American. He wanted the right to succeed. And everything we've heard, I mean, there was so much other despicable stuff said at Martin Luther King Jr.'s anniversary, his speech. I am sure he is spinning in his grave of what these people have said, because they said everything opposite of what he truly is. And talking about Martin Luther King, it is so important. While people know what I think of the political parties, I am a George Washington, no party affiliate, candidate voter. I own my vote, as George Washington told us to do. And I was initially a Democrat. My mother was from Massachusetts, and I would have been shot had I not registered as a Democrat. But as I became more involved in the process and as I learned more, I became an independent. And then I said, well, yeah, the Republican Party is actually a lot in line with what I believe, at least, you know, in theory they are. So then I became a Republican. And I got involved in the Orange County Executive Committee and did all these things, that, you know, to try to support and promote core conservative values, which is what the Republicans used to be. And that's why Martin Luther King Jr. was a Republican. People never want to tell you that. I mean, did anybody... Did anybody on the Hill talk about the fact that Martin Luther King Jr. was a Republican? And what it meant to be a Republican back then, it's not the same today. I don't for a minute think that Martin Luther King Jr. would be a Republican today, because they had no core values. They abandoned them. But, you know, they never talked about that fact. Most people think Martin Luther King Jr. was a Democrat, and he wasn't. He believed in the individual. And he believed in empowering the individual. He wanted the right to be the uncommon man. So with me saying that, I'm going to read this. It's called I Do Not Choose to Be a Common Man. And this is by Dean Alphenage. Let's see, when was this? Originally published in This Week's Magazine, later printed in the Reader's Digest, October 1952 and January of 1954. And the Honorable Dean Alphenage was an American statesman born December 2nd, 1899. Okay. And he was raised in New York. He served in the U.S. Army during World War I and attended Hamilton College, graduating in the class of 1922. But this is what he wrote. Excuse me. I do not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and dulled by having the state look after me. I want to take the calculated risk, to dream and to build, to fail and to succeed. I refuse to barter incentive for a dole. I prefer the challenges of life to the guaranteed existence, the thrill of fulfillment to the stale calm of utopia. I will not trade freedom for the benefice, nor my dignity for a handout. I will never cower before any master, nor bend to any threat. It is my heritage to stand erect, proud, and unafraid. To think and act for myself, enjoy the benefits of my creations, and to face the world boldly and say, this I have done. All this is what it means to be an American. See, I can while Martin Luther King Jr. did not say this or write this, this wasn't him, I can truly hear him saying this. This is his vision. This is not the vision that we keep hearing our president talk about. This is about what it really means to be an American. It means you empower yourself. It is my heritage to stand erect, proud, and unafraid, to think and act for myself, enjoy the benefits of my creation, and to face the world boldly and say, this I have done. All this is what it means to be an American. And you think today, we don't seem to be that way. We have this is not what the average American seems to think they are today. And somebody on one talk show or something was talking about an immigrant who came from, I think it was West Africa, who truly appreciated and embraced being in America because they knew what it was like to live in communism. And then another person who was also a Cuban who was there during when Castro first took over. These individuals who came to America to be Americans have embraced being an American and have embraced the meaning of in the individual spirit to be the heritage to stand erect, proud, and unafraid to think and act for myself. That's what it means to be an American. Being an American is not to be on the welfare state. But there was two things this one person was saying on a show today. And this was I apologize. I don't remember the guy's name. He was covering for Glenn Beck today. He said, as he's talking to this person, this American from Africa, the guy is now an American. He said, you know, he goes out there and he works. When he first came to America, he was delivering papers. Now he is a driver for a car service. And he works, and he works, and he works. He works, and then he makes his own decisions. But in his own neighborhood, he said, people resent you when you have something. You work, and you got something, and then they resent it because they don't want to work. They go out of their way not to work. And that is what we see in this society, this entitlement, brainwashing society, is what we have become. And it just, you know, and I heard it again the last couple of days, that crazy commercial about the Obama gave me a phone. I got a phone. I mean, there's something sick when an American is jumping up and down because they got a free phone. There's something sick in our identity crisis, excuse me, something about the American identity, the American spirit, the American individual, when the whole goal is to see how many ways you can do nothing and get some kind of free welfare benefits, whether it be food stamps, whether it be some kind of supplemental income or whatever, a cell phone. This is not what it means to be an American. And do we have more Americans or do we have more serfs? And I mean, these people don't truly even qualify as serfs because they don't do anything. They don't work. They just sit out there waiting for some excuse to have the government pay. The other thing the guy was saying on the show today, and this was really interesting, and he, you know, I can only imagine if I would have been, this was on an airplane where he hears these two individuals, two black individuals who apparently had been to the Martin Luther King Jr. anniversary, somewhere, and his description said they were in their mid-20s. He was estimating they were in their mid-20s. But the lady, I guess, said something to the effect, why would there be white people at Martin Luther King Jr.'s anniversary? And you think when somebody at that age would say that, what does that tell you about us as a whole? What does this say about the American identity as a whole? We have somebody in their mid-20s would say, well, Martin Luther King was all about black people, you know, and white people had nothing to do with it. And then you see the likes of an Al Sharpton or a Jesse Jackson out there, and you think we really have lost this identity. We don't know what it means to be an American anymore. And that's why I just really emphasize, do not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled or dulled by having the state look after me. That's core American values. This welfare state stuff is about as un-American and anti-whatever you want to call it as it can be, yet we have got a large segment of the population that thinks that's what it is. They think totally the opposite of that. Their whole goal is to how many ways they can get a handout, get food stamps from the state, to do nothing and get paid for it. Excuse me. I want to take the calculated risk, to dream and to build, and to fail and to succeed. That's what being an American is. This is what it's all about. And right now, we've gone totally the opposite. We want some kind of safety net. Work for the government because they're going to give you your pension plan. You know what? You can't. If everybody's working for the government, who's going to create the money and the wealth? And I refuse to barter incentive for a dole. I prefer the challenges of life to the guaranteed existence and the thrill of fulfillment to the stale calm of utopia. Again, this is what it means to be an American. I will never cower before any master nor bend to any threat. This is what it means to be an American. It is my heritage to stand erect, proud, and unafraid, to think and act for myself, enjoy the benefits of my creation, and to face the world boldly and say, this I have done. All this is what it means to be an American. And when I look around today, I just don't see I'm looking at my chat room, and it looks like something weird is going on out there. So, if you're in the chat room, let's see if I can get this chat room to do anything. Something is not quite going right out there. Excuse me. But anyway, as I was saying, this all comes down to this identity crisis we have. And I'm telling you, just look around you. You don't have to go far. Look at how we are dividing what it means to be an American. And American means you came from someplace else. You know, Americans are immigrants, but we came from all over the world. If, you know, with me, yes, I was born and raised here in America, and both of my parents were. I am what's called a natural-born citizen. But my parents' parents didn't. They came from other places. My father's side, they came from Portugal. And so America is the massive melting pot of the world. You come to be an American. If you come here to be a Latino, then you have not come to be an American. It's not that you forget your heritage. It's that you embrace being an American, just like this African came. This African came West Africa. He came to be an American. The Cuban who came to be an American. If you still embrace, and this was something similar to what he was saying on his show today, but I have said, you know, we've said the same thing many times right here on American Statesman Blog Talk Radio. If you're so happy and so proud of being a Cuban and that's what you love, then why are you here in America? If you don't want to be an American, then stay in Cuba. And, I mean, that goes for any place. That's not just Cuba. That's any place. If you love being a German, stay in Germany. Don't be an American. If you don't believe in embracing being an American, then don't come to America. I mean, you can visit and then leave, but don't pretend to be an American when you don't want to be one. Nobody has to be an American. If you want to be one, then be one. Embrace what it means to be an American. That is the only way we are going to save this country. If we refuse to embrace being united as Americans, we cannot survive. United we stand, divided we fall. Again, it's not an original thought of mine, but it's so true. Who can argue that point? Who can say that's not true? Do you truly think we can survive if we're not united? I don't see how we can. And that is so critical to get back to this identity crisis, because right now everybody belongs to some other group. We're not Americans. There's, you know, the group of us that still considers ourselves to be Americans is getting smaller and smaller. Everybody, all these other people, all these other factions, they want all the benefits of America and of an American, but they don't want to be one. They want the free phone. They want the free health care. They want this. They want that. They want to vote, whether they're an American or not. If you're an American, you should have the right to vote. But and you do have the right to vote. But when it comes to everything that happened with Martin Luther King Jr., I just believe would be very saddened by what happened on his anniversary. And I think he would be even more saddened when a black president used his name in vain, used his name to divide people, to separate, and for political gain. That was not what it was about. The dream was not about that. It's very disgusting. So we have to understand we have a massive identity crisis. We don't know what being an American is anymore. The true American, those that embrace being Americans in America, believing what this country was founded on, believing in the Constitution, we are a dying breed. And if we don't get together, if we don't come together and unite as one, the United States of America will go the same as the Roman Empire. And we're not going to survive. And on the show, this talk show, when the guy was talking, and again, I apologize, I did not get his name. He was saying he believes it's the legal immigrant, such as this African and this Cuban, they're the ones that are going to save America this time. The typical Americans, and I don't consider myself to be typical by any means, but those of us who were born and raised here have become spoiled, and we no longer truly appreciate what it means to be an American. We don't know how to appreciate the freedom or to assume the responsibility for taking care of yourself. We have become the common man that wants to be the kept person. And this, again, obviously this isn't all Americans. I definitely don't qualify as common by any means. And I totally agree with what this says. I want to take the calculated risk to dream and to build and to fail and to succeed. That is how greatness comes, by going out there, taking the chance, taking the calculated risk, and assuming responsibility for yourself. And that's what American is, individualism. If you're not an individual, you're not an American. If you insist on grouping yourself into some dual nationality type thing, because you identify with that other faction, then you're not an American. If you're an American, you only identify yourself with this one group of people. So if you're a Mexican-American, you're not an American, you're a Mexican. If you're a German-American, you're not an American, you're a German. You can't be both. Dual nationality does not work. If you're an American, be an American. If you want to be something else, fine, be something else, go back to wherever that may be. If you want to be French, go back to France. It doesn't matter. The point is, be an American. Being an American means you embrace that Constitution. And when you embrace that Constitution, that means you do not embrace Sharia. The Constitution does not give you the right to kill women at will. That any woman who's been raped deserves to die. That is not what the American Constitution is about. We've obviously seen things, and that's, I guess, the other aspect when we talk about Martin Luther King Jr. and the civil rights. People forget women didn't have a lot of rights either. The women weren't beaten in the same sense and stuff like that. I mean, obviously there's domestic abuse that happens and some terrible things, but that's not legal. It's not the way, not what we as a people embrace. But when you think about civil rights, it wasn't strictly blacks who had their rights being trampled on. And it was the whites who were there helping to fight for the cause. It was not strictly a black thing. People forget that women didn't have, at one point, women didn't have the right to vote. It didn't matter what color you were. So there's many things to go on with civil rights. And Martin Luther King wanted to get past the color of the skin. Al Sharpton won't let you get past the color of your skin. He's out of business if you ignore the color of your skin. That's what Al Sharpton does for a living. He's a racist. Same as Jesse Jackson. And on the show today, the guy was saying, these people will be nothing but a bubble in history because they have done everything they can to disempower, to take away from the black community. And they do it to the Hispanic as well. They try to take, of course, it was really a very big blow to the Al Sharptons out there when Zimmerman was also Hispanic. And if he was a white Hispanic, then Obama is a white black. You know, this kind of nonsense is going on. All with the purpose of destroying who we are as a people. Well, it looks like we have Ms. Texas out there. I will be right with you. Ms. Texas, I don't know what's going on with my chat room. I don't know if you're out there or not, but my chat room isn't working. I think I'm going to close it and try to reopen it. And we'll see if I can get some space out there for you to write for others to join. The other thing I want to mention, and then I will get Ms. Texas on the phone here, is the Catholic Church. I heard something, it was on the Factor this past week. Father Jonathan Morris was on there. He was preaching amnesty. And I'm telling you, my blood was starting to boil like you wouldn't believe. And I sent a message to Father Jonathan Morris. And he has a website out there. Just do a search on his name. Find it. Send your own message to him. I sent out several emails about this plot that the Catholic Church is going to go out there and push amnesty. And Notre Dame is also out there. They no longer care about the undocumented students. They need the illegals, because they call them undocumented. They didn't call them illegal. The illegal students strengthen their university. This is the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church trashing the American people so they can get more money and power, apparently. And then, I was getting so many responses. When I sent out two emails today about this, and I got multiple responses, and I saw people forwarding it on to others, which was great, of what this really means, what the Catholic Church has become. And so the last email I sent, or I should say the second email that I sent out, I'm really telling people, if you're a Catholic, next time you go to church, make sure you ask a few tough questions to your church. And if your church is out there preaching the same crap of amnesty, you need to leave the church. And, I mean, that's a pretty strong statement to go out there and say Americans need to abandon the Catholic religion in this country. But that's exactly the way I feel about it after the garbage I was hearing, the rhetoric, that they're going to have a massive push for amnesty. The Catholic Church isn't going to preach about God. They're going to preach about amnesty. How sick is that? And on that note, let me get Ms. Texas in here. Hey, Ms. Texas, how you doing?
I'm fine. Boy, you after it today, aren't you?
Hey, but at least, you know, come on. You gotta keep the fight up. We can't let up.
I know that, but I get so tickled at you. I just sit back and listen and giggle. You know, I was born Catholic. I was raised Catholic. But I'm not a good Catholic anymore because I don't agree with a lot of things of the church. But I agree with you on this because I have gone to war for the same reason with the Catholic Church. They're driving me crazy down here in Texas, and it's the same thing. And I'm not going to defend them. I'm going to say I know where they're coming from because they have been doing this for hundreds of years. And they think that they're doing somebody somewhere some good. But I have to tell them, all they're doing is killing this country with their thoughts that they're saving poor people who are being so mistreated, who are in need of such great help. Now, I'm not going to say that there's not people coming over here that aren't in need of great help, but what I'm saying is if they can break the law to do it, I do not think the Catholic Church should be saying that it's okay. They should not be provoking it. And I'm going to say they provoke it because they support any underground type of movement from illegals. And I don't care who they are.
I know, and that's kind of like, and I believe I did copy you on my email that I sent out. If I didn't, let me know, and I'll send it to you. But that's why I was asking the question. What does it mean to be a Catholic in America in 2013? What are the core values of the church again? I mean, from what I was seeing with these different things, it's all about money and power. They have totally lost any true sense of the Lord. It's like, what? And that's why in my email specifically to Father Jonathan Morris, I'm saying, so God told you to sacrifice Americans for the illegals? Because that's what it is. So it's okay to sacrifice for the illegals who broke the law and the terrorists who are coming in over this border because we have no security. So you support them at the sacrifice of the American people. I ended my letter email to the Father by saying, you know, I will pray for you, Father, because that's what God told me to do, because I think the Catholic Church needs a prayer right now after this garbage I saw.
Well, they have for years been considered themselves humanitarians by doing this kind of stuff. And if you've watched or watched many movies or anything, you'll see what I'm talking about. But they've got to understand they are going to bring in what the church fought against so hard hundreds of years ago to eliminate or to eradicate or get rid of or whatever you want to call it, communism. And all they're doing is provoking and enabling communism into this country. Now, how, if you're going to do that in the name of the fact that you're trying to help poor, uneducated people to live a better life, and then you help and bring in communism, which is exactly what they're trying to do to this country, and if you don't believe it and you're listening to this, go get educated.
Yeah, really. Get off the couch and wake up.
Right. Get educated. Don't just sit there and scream at the monitor, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just a ditzy woman, and I don't know what I'm talking about. Go get educated. Go to the website. Go to places that she has on the website where you can go and look this stuff up and learn about it, and then come back and tell us how stupid and dumb we are. Because when you do, we're going to laugh at you because it won't happen.
This one here was... The Washington Times reports that Notre Dame University, one of the largest Catholic universities in the country, has changed its admission policies to include undocumented students because it strengthens the student body. This is a major step for the university as it parallels the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops that also back integrating undocumented immigrants into American society, including supporting legalization. We support this initiative by Notre Dame and look forward to seeing other institutions to take the same initiative. So, again, this is where they won't even say they're here illegally. They have to brainwash themselves by calling them undocumented. Yes, these people are human. That's not the question. And, you know, I understand the humanitarian piece of this kind of thing. But if it's a humanitarian thing, then they all should be spending a lot of money and sending it down to Mexico to help the Mexican people, who are the ones who, I will say, are the most, not all, but most, genuine when it's coming here to work. But they're not the only ones. There's many people who come here for a better life, and that's all fine and dandy, but you're going to sacrifice, you know, the Catholic Church is saying, we support the illegal criminal over the American. You can't support both of them, because one is this illegal element. And we're talking about the illegal element that comes here to work or whatever. We're going to say, for the sake of what the humanitarian piece is, that you're out there trying to help these people. Why don't you spend more time and send your people down to the mission, whatever, down to Mexico in the sense to go down there and help the Mexican people, try to clean up their government so they don't need to come here. That would be the humanitarian thing to do, not to trash and destroy the American people because you want to help these others who came here illegally. And then we have, of course, the whole other thing, the true anti-Americans that don't believe. You have the freedom of religion who don't believe in Christianity and who believe in communism. So, I mean, the Catholic Church, to me, is just totally screwed up in their head, if I can be so blunt as to put it that way.
Well, and a lot of people feel that way, and I don't blame them, and I at times feel that way too, which after hearing what you've read and everything, I'm not going to disagree with anything, but I know that the Catholic Church is not going to change its mind because they feel like they're doing the work of God.
I understand all that kind of stuff.
I know you do.
But, yeah. And
but that's why they won't change their ways. In other words, it's not going to matter. They've got Obama on their side. They don't have to worry about it.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. But that's why I'm saying the true American Christian Catholic, if you believe anything about what this country is, you should really leave your church. Go find another church because the Catholic faith is helping to destroy this country. And that's,
either
that
or the next thing to do is to pitch such a big row like they did when the rigmarole about the priests that were molesting or, you know, having sex and so forth in the church or abusing the kids. And I'm not saying that's not true, and I don't have a thing against the war that went on against that. But what I'm saying is the Catholic people need to stand up and say, no, we're not going to contend with this because you are putting our lives, our country, in jeopardy.
Right. If the Catholic Church wanted to be silent and not take a side on the issue, which I think would be the most appropriate thing they could do, and they can do what they can to help all the homeless people. If you're going to help, go. You need to give it across the board. What are they doing to help all the Americans who are now out of jobs because the illegals took their job? What are they doing to help them out? You try to save the world if you think you can. But right now, for you to do what you're doing, you're openly sacrificing the American people because of this. And all because, again, understanding, yes, there's a humanitarian aspect. And most of us would do what we could to help those who are in need. But when you come here illegally, to harm us, there's a time when you have to protect your own home. You have to protect, Catholics, if the Muslim Brotherhood come into their temple, are they going to let them sit there and preach?
Probably.
And, okay, then just surrender your Catholic religion and say you no longer have a Catholic religion, because you can't be a Muslim and a Catholic at the same time. So are you going to preach to God or are you going to preach to Allah?
Well, they're not.
I mean,
They're not going to. Preaching, they would let the Muslim do the preaching because they don't want to. In other words, again, they're acting. They're trying to. What am I? You get me in position. I don't know how to say what I'm going to say. They're trying to be kind and reverent to all mankind. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Not that we agree with it, but that's their way of thinking.
Well, and I mean, I would think it would be very hypocritical for the Catholic faith, any Christian, but again, this is the Catholic faith using their church as a way to politicize or become engaged in this issue. Christians should be out there just killing people because they're here illegally and stupid things like that, causing harm to them, such as that. But to go out there and sacrifice the American for the illegal, and that is what they're doing, whether they want to admit it or not, and it's all fine and dandy for them to pretend that that's not what's happening. But at some point, they really should go to confession and admit, dear Lord, I'm sorry I had to put these many American people out of work and sacrifice them so that I could take in these illegals. Because that's what they're doing. I mean, it literally is. This is Father Patrick Basquio. And this is another email, that, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I want to read this one section. Wrote in, on the immorality of illegal immigration, the Christian leadership of this country, not really comprehending the wide-ranging problems connected with illegal immigration, has blessed violating the sovereignty of our nation, depressing the wages of American workers, encouraging the growth of the most violent gangs in America, driven up black unemployment, and draining the best and the brightest of the third world, leaving it helpless. How could the church possibly desire that this state of affairs continue? And I mean, that to me is such an excellent summary of what the church is doing. You know, it makes no sense. And the court here is saying Christian leadership. It didn't specify Catholics. Everything I keep seeing is this major push that the Catholic faith is going to go out there with this massive plan for amnesty. You know, if they want to help those who are here illegally, the sanctuary church routine, okay, go out there and let all these illegals live in your church. Let them all move in and you support them. Fine, go for it. But not when you're going to go out there and be sacrificing. And know that as you're feeding the illegals, your American people are standing on the footsteps starving to death. That's what they are doing. And, you know, I understand what you're saying. I don't expect them to go out there and be beating up the illegals or anything crazy like that. No, that would be ungodly to do as well. But to go and sacrifice your people, you know. And I've often asked and talked about the same kind of thing in your own neighborhood. And the average American neighborhood, you know, your household may be doing okay. You're not Bill Gates or Bloomberg or whatever, but, you know, you're surviving and you're doing okay. But, you know, on your street or in your neighborhood, three or four families have been harmed by the economy and they're suffering. Would you put your own children out in the street to help them, or would you try to give them something? Sacrifice, you know, in your own family, you go through, what are the things that we could cut? What are the things we don't really need that we could share with them to help them out? That to me is what a Christian would do. It's not to say, well, wait a minute, I'm not going to feed my family because I need to feed them. You wouldn't do that, and that's what the Catholic Church is doing. We're not going to take care of our own people. We're going to take care of these. And that just isn't, to me, it's not the holy thing to do. And that's why I pushed the two emails out there, and I was really surprised at how many responses I got so quickly on that. And this one, I got two emails with different scripture and things like that to say what the Catholic Church is doing is wrong. So they need to go look at that Bible again because they're somehow confused. So let's see, what else? And then this thing with Martin Luther King Jr. and what this president was saying and some of this stuff. Again, it's like we don't know what it means to be an American anymore.
I think it's disgusting that they had Obama stand up in the same place that Martin Luther King stood and gave that speech. To me, that was so disgusting.
Disgusting and disrespectful.
Because Obama does not even represent the same thing that Martin Luther King did. And then, I don't know if you heard this or not, I was listening to Joe Pags, I think it was. They said that they could not, he wanted to play a part of Martin Luther King's speech. But he said he couldn't do it because all the rights and everything were owned by the King family. And that they are charging exorbitant amounts of money for anybody to be able to use. In other words, they're getting that off of the father and the grandfather and off of the husband.
Right.
They are charging exorbitant amounts of money in order to do that. And I think that this weekend, for many this weekend, it was a thing of being there and honoring Martin Luther King. But I think for many, it's all just another way to make money.
Well,
and I know some people are going to get mad at me for saying that, but I'm sorry. But if you're not out to make a dollar off of the man, you would not be charging exorbitant amounts of money in order to, you know, through the use of your copyrights.
Well, there's only one thing I can kind of say on that, and I actually kind of like it. Because, I mean, I understand what you're saying, and I feel a little bit in the same direction. However, I think they may have decided they did not want the wrong people using his words. And
well, they
because
the right
what
to
was going on. What's that?
They had the right to refuse, you know, letting anyone use, whoever requests to use it, they have a right to refuse that.
Well, I don't know. But I think maybe by saying, pricing him out of it, if you will, it was, I don't know. I'm just glad that his words weren't allowed to be destroyed by what was not a true tribute to Martin Luther King Jr. What happened on the Hill was about as anti-Martin Luther King Jr. as you could get. So I guess to that degree I'm happy that they weren't allowed to go and say it. Because if Martin Luther King Jr.'s spirit was not in Washington, D.C. At that event. What Obama said was not it. I think the only thing, there was something at the tail end that Obama said, you promise change, but then you don't do it or something. He said somewhere. And it was O'Reilly who was quoting him, so I didn't watch it. I didn't hear the thing. But apparently there were some things in there where Obama was somewhat admitting that he hadn't been what he was supposed to be, that he wasn't. But, you know, Obama will never be Martin Luther King Jr., and that's all there is to that. Excuse me. And I really do think it was so disgusting. And when it comes to the money, do you truly think Al Sharpton would have been there had it not been for the money? Do you really think he cared about Martin Luther King?
No,
he was there for the money.
Well, I'm gonna back up on that one a minute. I think at the time he cared because they were fighting what he thought was the same battle. But now he's gone, I don't think he cares. I think he's riding his coattail to make money. Because it's like, I was listening to a talk show yesterday, I forget who said it, but well, Pag said this. If you look at, it's been 50 years ago, it didn't seem like it had been that long, but it's been 50 years ago since all this took place. And as far as racial rights are concerned, we're in better shape than America has ever been in as far as discrimination and so forth. I'm not going to say we're perfect, but it's better than it ever was. Why can't you get over it? You know, I'm not saying to forget the history, but I'm going to say let's get the history straight. Because all the history that's being given out there about this is not true. What about the people that weren't mistreated? What about the people that was given land? You know, all this is never told.
Exactly. Well, just like it's never told, I mean, when was the last time in any public forum or even on any of the news shows, even including Fox, how many times do they tell people that Martin Luther King Jr. was a Republican? And that's when, and that was in the days of when the Republican Party actually stood for something. I don't think Martin, and I said this earlier, I don't believe Martin Luther King Jr. would be a Republican today, but he was back then. How many
well,
times,
I
mean,
think,
when you think about it, without, let me ask you a question here. You think about everybody out there right now, everybody that you know and you talk to on a day-to-day basis and, you know, the society at large, what percentage of the people, if you were to go out there and ask, is Martin Luther King Jr., was he a Democrat or Republican, what percent do you think would say he was a Democrat?
Oh, I think 99% would say that.
Exactly.
I mean,
so
there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But what I was going to say is, I think if Martin Luther King was still alive, the Republican Party wouldn't be in the shape that it's in today. Because he was a man of values. He would not have sold his heart, his life, or his values out for the almighty dollar. I think our race relations would be 100% better off than what they are now, because Obama would not be in there, and he would not be digging up and trashing the progress we've made.
Totally agree. So I think it's so sad. And the other, and I don't know if you were listening to me when I talked about the young black couple that the lady said, why were white people there on the hill?
Yeah, I heard that. And I'm going to say that doesn't surprise me. And it sickens me because when I was listening in to the Tea Party broadcast a lot, there was a woman that came on, and she was an immigrant. She hadn't gotten her citizenship yet. But she came on, and she reminded me, I fell in love with Craig, what's his last name? Anyway, the late night show guy on CBS. He comes on after the other one because I won't watch him. But I fell in love with him because when he came on, and this was before the news media made their fast-track turn to communism, he came on, and he was a better, he spoke, he was a better American than most Americans were, and he hadn't even gotten his citizenship yet. And when I was talking on the Tea Party, listening in on the Tea Party, there was a woman that came on. And I think I have to think about her every once in a while now with what's going on as far as our government is concerned, because she would get on and talk about what was going on and how we have to wake up, because all they're doing is leading us into communism. And she knows this because she had to live with it. And she would cry. And I think about her often, and I think it is so pitiful. We have people who aren't citizens of this country who are better citizens than the people that live here.
And that's exactly what the point the guy was making on the show today. He was filling in for Glenn Beck, and I didn't get his name. But he kept saying America's going to be saved by the new immigrant, those who come here legally, and who have lived and suffered through communism, because they know what it was like. They appreciate what they have here. They appreciate the opportunity, when unfortunately too many Americans are just deadbeats who just want to watch a football game routine, who don't appreciate what they have, and they want a free cell phone. I mean, this entitlement mentality that is out there to go totally the other way. So, and I thought that was kind of an interesting point, the way he put that out there. It's going to be the legal immigrant, the new American immigrant, who is going to defend this country, who's going to save it, because they know what communism is, and too many Americans don't know what it is.
Right, and they're really going to fight harder, and they probably are now. We're just not hearing about it. They're going to fight harder to keep this country free than what any American is, besides you and I. And a few others.
Well, there's definitely this group of us out there. You know, there's definitely the revolutionaries like us out there, yes. But we all know the mass of the majority that are focused on nonsense.
Or just focused on their own lives, and they can't get out of the way. They can't think beyond their nose. They're just busy making that dollar. You know, a lot of times I've about this a lot. I don't think that they don't care. They're like we were years ago, never thought that we'd ever have to worry about this.
Oh, yeah. Well, and the younger you go, the more you know they've been brainwashed and dumbed down in public school.
Well, yeah. So. Yeah, you can't go. Well, this generation, probably the last couple of generations that got out of college have gotten out of high school. They've been dumbed down so bad. They can't hardly pick their nose without being instructed how. Did I say that?
The guy, it's kind of funny we're talking about education, because the guy got into the education thing saying there are teachers out there that if a student never shows up, they still get 25% of the credit for having been in school, even if they never showed up the first day.
Right, because they've got to have that almighty dollar.
Well, no, it's because they can't let anybody fail. You can't say anything bad. You can't, you know, and some of them are told they can't let a kid have less than a 60% score. It's like, wait a minute, they fail, but you have to give them so many points, even regardless, because you have whatever this craziness is, talk about destroying math, but it's all because you can't say anything against anybody. You can't go out there and say, wait a minute, you're a failure.
Well, it also reverts back to the fact that with the tests that they've been given, it depends on how much money they make money off of these kids passing these tests.
Well, that's true, too. But, yeah, there's both sides because the teachers are getting rated by their performance. But
exactly,
other
and
policies
the schools.
Schools
are getting rated by performance, and if they don't perform, if they don't make that magic number, then they don't get that extra money. So they spend these teachers.
Yeah.
Now they're hiring teachers. Well, they've been for the last few years hiring teachers that aren't even qualified to teach.
Well, exactly. The teachers don't have an education.
You know, and they say, well, I'm graduating from college. I'm going to be a teacher. And I go, oh, my God. And when you listen to them, I go, oh, my God, that's going to be in the classroom?
Oh, I'm telling you. And with Common Core and this other stuff, I'm telling you, it's like we got to keep saying a prayer for this country. I can't, as I explained in one of my emails earlier, too, I said, I'm a Christian, but I'm not a Catholic.
I'm a Christian, and I'm not a good Catholic. I'm a Christian. Being a Catholic doesn't mean you're not a Christian.
I know, and that was my point. I said I'm a Christian. I'm not a Catholic, so I'm gonna keep praying over here. I'm not gonna go to the Catholic Church to pray, but I'm gonna keep praying out here because we need all the help we can get.
Pray either because hell, the devil probably comes down. You know, the good Lord probably kicked me in the butt. Where am I going with all this? I don't know.
Well, I mean, in my own case, like I said, and I've talked about it in other shows, I've seen so much hypocrisy at the church, and the Catholic Church is one of the worst. Well, the pedophilia and all the other stuff that they've covered up over the years, the Catholic Church is pretty dirty to me when it comes right down to it. So, and I trust me, I know people that are Catholics and everything else, but I just don't ever see myself, and my father was raised as a Catholic, but I just could never see myself being a Catholic, especially after the things that happened with all the pedophilia stuff. So, but more to the point, you know, the joke I have made, and I'm telling you, I really do believe this would happen. You know, I don't say this trying to be funny. If I was to go to the local church in my neighborhood or whatever, and if I was to see anybody from the local government, any public elected public representative, because truth of it is, here in Florida, there's probably only two in the whole state that I might have any respect for. The rest of them I think are scumbags. If I saw them at that church, I would have to say, how can you come here with everything, with the evilness you do? Are you coming here to get this? Can you get that much confession, or do you get that much forgiveness coming here after all the crap you do to the American people? Because I would, the hypocrisy, and I can't stand it when I see candidates stand in front of a church for a photo op. Because that's all it is to me. It's a photo op for these people. And, you know, they may believe in Jesus and believe in God and this kind of stuff, and to some degree be a Christian, but they're not what I would call very holy because of what they have done to sacrifice this country. Take Boehner. I don't know what I would do if I was to see Boehner in church.
You'd probably be like me. I'd crack up laughing. Because I know he was not there for the purpose of going to church, of going to pray to God, and I know this for a fact because if he was, he wouldn't be in that church. Or the other side of that coin is, he wouldn't be doing to this country what he's trying to do to it.
Exactly.
He can't call himself a Christian. There is no way he's a Christian.
I mean. Well, and my joke, as I've put a spin, I truly would be afraid of seeing some of these people. Here locally in Orange County, if I was to go to a church and see either Mayor Buddy Dyer, that's the city of Orlando, or Mayor Teresa Jacobs for the Orange County Commission, I would have to say something to them. I'd say, you better ask for a hell of a lot of forgiveness while you're here, because you're going to rot in hell. And
exactly.
I mean, and I truly believe it. Yeah.
And I agree with you. You know, they can all do what they're doing. It doesn't matter what religion you are, because there's problems in every church. Like I told you before about the guy I worked for that was a good Baptist. Well, he had his little hidden rack of beer. But they think that going to church and using it as a guideline or a way to gain their public, their desires as far as I can't say what I want to say. In order to gain recognition in the neighborhood, in the community, for everybody to say, oh, he's a good guy. He goes to church every Sunday. Oh, he's a good guy. He gives his tithes every Sunday. Well, I hate to tell you, giving your tithes and being in church every Sunday doesn't mean that if you walk in that church, God's not going to slap you down.
Well, that's it. Going to church does not make one holy or a Christian, no more than being a Republican makes one a conservative.
No.
So going to church, truthfully, the most evil thing you can do is to go to church seeking some kind of selfish greed benefit, in that sense. And, of course, I remember this when it comes to insurance salespeople, and this was way back when. It was called Common Sense. Was a program about saving money and stuff like that. And these people who would get into it, they would say, join a church. And once you go into church, people start to know you, and then you can sell them stuff. That there was this mentality that if you go to church, you must be honest. And it's like, this is what the politicians do. Going to church does not make you holy. Going to church does not make you pure. Actions speak much louder than words.
Exactly.
So, the other...
I'd have to duck. If I walked in and saw Biden sit there, I would have to get up and leave abruptly. Because I wouldn't want to be next to him when the bomb dropped.
Speaking of
the lightning bolt came through the windows of the church. One or the other was going to happen, definitely.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't get near any of them in the church. I'd stay far away.
Run for the hill.
What was this thing with Biden? He was out there preaching the Constitution when George Bush was in office about going to war, and that he would lead the charge to impeach Bush if he took us to war without a congressional approval. What's happening with that right now?
Hey, that happened with Afghanistan already. Obama took us into war with Afghanistan without getting the approval of Congress.
Well, I just think it's interesting. Well, of course, obviously, Biden's not going to go after Obama, but the hypocrisy.
Well,
once again,
if he,
the hypocrisy. Yeah.
See, what his problem is, he had one of these dreams. It's called a nightmare for the United States. You know where I'm going, huh?
Yeah, keep going. Or go wherever it leads.
He seems to think, he knows. I'm not going to say he seems to think. He knows the only way he would ever get elected would be if Obama got impeached.
Exactly.
That's kind of like old Lady Johnson having Kennedy killed so that her husband could become president. Knew the only way it was going to happen was if somebody killed him, so they did it. That was the only way he'd ever become president. Did I say that? Yeah, I said that because it's a fact.
Yep. Yep. There's more truth to some of that than what we want to think about. And, I keep hearing there are more and more talk about the impeachment, but I just don't know if any of these people in Congress have the guts to do it or whether enough of them do. I think most of them are too cowards.
Well, I'm going to say they don't have guts enough to do it because it hadn't been done. Three of them out there, they had said they were going to file papers of impeachment, and there's one impeachment thing that's already been filed, but they can't get it out of whatever committee. And to me, that's just an excuse.
You know, if they wanted to impeach him bad enough, it would be done.
Exactly. But there is, I'm going to try to look for some information that I just got today about people, the American people impeaching him. The other, let's see, this was from this constitutional lawyer. I'm going to try and find it. But, the other thing, just while I'm looking for this, and we're talking about Obama.
Neil, you're making my day.
Ted Cruz, eligibility. What is it? This is going to be such, and of course, Ted Cruz is supposed to be the constitutional attorney and all the stuff. And I've got to get the list of those Supreme Court cases where they said what a natural born is. I got to get it out there because people keep saying that he's eligible. And from what you and I have talked about many times on the show, he's not eligible. How is Ted Cruz eligible to be the president?
I heard this the other day. Now, I don't know if I can get this all straight in my head or not, but this is what I heard on the radio the other day, and I almost flipped out. The requirements that they follow in order for a person to run for president is as follows. You have to live in this country and be a citizen of this country for at least six years.
4 years is what I heard.
4 years, okay. See, I couldn't keep it straight. 4 years, and I forget what the rest of it was because I just bounced off the walls of my car. I just went bonkers. And I'm going.
Go ahead.
No, you.
I was gonna say, I think I know which one you're talking about. This guy was on Fox News, the one that I saw. Was a constitutional attorney who said something. They were talking about Ted Cruz because his mother was an American, even though he was born in Canada. He's formally denouncing his dual nationality or his Canadian whatever citizenship, but because he was here for more than 4 years or whatever, that was why he was going to be eligible. And the fact that his father was a Cuban had nothing to do with it. That was what this person was saying. And so, and I remember telling people, putting some stuff out there, well, if you believe that's true, then obviously then Obama's eligible too, if you believe that. And it just cracked me up when people go and say they don't think Obama was eligible, but they think that he would be, because Obama keeps saying, was an American mother. And so if he had an American mother, of course, we don't know how long he lived any place. That would be the next question, and whether he ever renounced his other nationality, his other citizenship. So there's two other pieces there. But for what Obama constantly says, which nobody can truly prove, is an American mother, which that part seems to be true, born in Hawaii, and who knows how many years he lived in the U.S. So I just kind of find it interesting that people want to ignore some of those facts when they talk about Ted Cruz. And I happen to like Ted Cruz. He's definitely saying the message I want. I love what he's out there fighting for. I love trying to defund Obamacare. And I'm telling you, these Republicans are going to sell themselves up the creek if they don't grow a backbone on some of this stuff. So, I mean, it's not me being against Ted Cruz. I'm just saying, from a constitutional perspective, what's the deal? And I would also like to hear what Ron Paul is saying. I haven't heard Ron Paul or Rand Paul talk about his eligibility. Ron Paul, as I recall, totally dismissed anything to do with the Obama birther thing. He didn't want to get into it. But I'm very curious because of their expertise on the Constitution.
Well, I heard mine on Joe Pags. That's where I heard it. And I had heard it prior to him. No, that wasn't what I heard. I got into it with Joe Pags the other day. Different story. Got into it with Joe Pags the other day because on his program, he and this guy had been having a disagreement as to what a natural-born citizen was. And Joe Pags gave his definition because he had disagreed with the guy that had called in. And again, I go ballistic because these people don't know what a natural-born citizen is. They're believing, and you're talking to people out there, you know, who might believe that Obama's eligible. Well, the only reason they're doing saying that is because they haven't the faintest damn idea what they're talking about in the first silly place.
True.
And Joe Pags is telling me I've got to prove him wrong. I've got to send an email and all my information on natural born citizens. And he said it's not in the Constitution. I said, yes, it is. You didn't read far enough.
This is the part that they distinguish being an American citizen for the point of being a member of the House of Representatives or the Senate, and then they call natural born for the president. They make this distinguishing point for a reason with a presidency. They want no dual nationality in there.
Exactly. But according to Mr. Pag, see, that was in that. He had this guy go back and look this all up and everything, and you know, the guy comes back and he says, I read 6 pages and you're right. And, of course, when he said, you're right, you know what happened with me. I couldn't let that go by.
Well, when you send out your email with all the documentation, make sure you copy me, because I need to put it all together in the right format. I we've gone over this so many times. I know it's out there. But I just don't have it, and I will post it on one of the shows. I'll put it all out there for one show about what natural born citizen is.
I haven't sent him anything because I figure it's going to take me a while to get it together because I haven't looked over it in a while. But I will definitely copy you on it, and I'm going to set him straight. Of course, that's something I love to do anyway. But, if we're going to talk about it, and we finally got people talking about it, let's make sure they get it right so that we can start waking some of these people with these talk shows up so maybe they can discuss stuff that they really know what they're talking about.
Exactly. Hey, we know they're not going to learn it in school, so we have to teach them.
That's it.
Now, something else that I came across here, this is a constitutional attorney, Michael Connolly. Go to the Michael Connolly blog, and you can see it. And Michael Connolly, he has been on the show. He was on the show. It's probably been almost 2 years now, and he is an author out there. I have prepared and posted formal articles of impeachment of Barack Hussein Obama on my blog at Michael Connolly blog. A copy is attached, so use it as you see fit. I believe these are a comprehensive indictment of our president and his violations of his oath of office. I will be submitting them to members of Congress. The time has come. Best regards. So I'm going to go ahead and open this doc or try to get it to open. Sometimes they open, sometimes they don't. We can talk about some of this. His formal articles of impeachment of the president. While I'm doing this, is there anything else going on in your world out there in Texas that we need to talk about?
Did you hear about the big to-do they're having in San Antonio because they wanted to give, they didn't say anything about this on the news. I'm getting ahead of myself. The big deal in San Antonio with the city council rule that they were going to put out there. People in San Antonio have just about stood on their heads trying to fight this thing. And what the news media didn't bother to tell anybody when they were reporting it was this city council rule that they were going to put out was going to allow gays and lesbians to use the bathroom that they considered to be of their genetic makeup. Did I say that right? Probably not. But if they felt like if they were women, but they hadn't had any surgery, in other words, when you looked at them, you couldn't tell they're women, they were going to let them go ahead and use the women's bathroom. You're breaking up. No, let me go stand outside. Maybe it's my phone. Go ahead.
Right.
You there?
Okay. I'm not hanging up on you, Miss Texas. I'm trying to reset your phone. So call back in and join the call. And I'll get you back on there. Because it's definitely something with your phone. Do that, or anybody else is out in that chat room who can't hear me, let me know. Or if you're listening and you can't hear me, can't hear me, you're not going to hear me, are you? Only if you're in the chat room that you can. Let's see. I'll put a note out here. Okay. Well, there's definitely something going on with her phone. If the whole thing doesn't get canceled here. Well, at this point, I don't know what else to do to help. And if you're near your computer and you can log on to the chat room, Ms. Texas, go right ahead. So anyway, that to me is the answer on the other thing. Let's see here. Okay, now it says dropped.
Hello?
Okay, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back. I don't know what happened. I think Obama must have squelched me.
Yeah, that or the Catholic Church was coming after you. Just
oh, wait, maybe God was saying, you giggled enough about this.
Well, anyway, since you're back on now, I will repeat the final comment I was making in reference to this restroom situation. You know, this is what gets me, is like, how can people be this silly or stupid or whatever you want to call it? What's going to happen, when they start letting the men go into the women's restrooms, sooner or later a woman's going to get raped in the restroom, and then that's when the state's going to be sued, the city, state, whoever it is that's involved, is going to get sued, and then they're going to stop that kind of nonsense. Either that or they're going to have one giant restroom with all co-ed or whatever. Men and women go all into the same restroom, and they're going to have a couple of police officers protecting you before you go in the bathroom. I mean, this is how sick it's going to be, if you ask me.
Well, I don't disagree with you, and I don't know. They were going to have they had 500 people show up last night for that city council meeting to voice their opinions. They had opened it up for people to voice their opinions and everything, let city council know what they, you know, they thought. And needless to say, they said 500 people showed up. And I think what they've decided to do, well, first thing, one of the lawyers let them know that the state law says that they can't do that. I mean, they cannot do that. I mean, they can get unhappy about it if they want to, but the law in the state of Texas says they can't do that. So, and the gay and lesbians here are trying to take control of the whole city government.
Yeah, and they're the ones, aren't they the ones that you can't be a member on that board if you do not believe in homosexuality?
Oh yeah, that was part of it. No, that was, see, they already have a law in place, a code, I guess they call it, that says that you can't discriminate. You know, the ones they use for the blacks. It's the same code. But the gay factor here didn't believe that it was strong enough, and they were making one that said they couldn't if they didn't. If they had ever spoke out or said anything racially against any gay or lesbian person in their lifetime, they would not be able to serve on the city council.
Right. Yeah, that was the one Glenn Beck was complaining about. And it's like, so in other words, if your religion is such that you don't believe in homosexuality, then you can't be on the city council.
That's what they were trying to get through, but I don't think it's going to wash. And the reason I don't think it's going to go is because some of the churches, which I finally couldn't believe it was happening. You know, my complaint through a lot of this has been the churches aren't standing up and they aren't fighting like they did in the days back when.
Right.
Back when they didn't worry about their tax, you know, exemption status and all that stuff. But
yeah.
I don't think this is going to fly. Because, like I said, or it's going to be so watered down that it won't make any difference anyway. But the point is that they even bothered to do it. What does,
right.
To me, what does that say about the city of San Antonio?
It's been taken over. It's been taken over. And, you know, when we talk about this kind of stuff, I find at the same time, here, you know, you're going to be, persecuted for, you know, believing, per your religious belief, you don't believe in homosexuality. And the fact of the matter is, it's not normal. Man and man and woman and woman is not normal. That's not the way the system works. At the same time, you've got these courts that are promoting Sharia and mercy killing, or not mercy, but honor killings. Honor killings because a girl was raped or this or that or whatever. They seem to go along with all that crap. I mean,
well,
can somebody explain this to me?
Well, to me, this is what's going on. See, each state, I guess, or each county or whatever, or each state, and I've been trying to get someone here in Texas to do this. That's why I keep talking about moving to Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
They passed a law that no foreign law can supersede the laws of the United States in their courtrooms. And this is not anything that's being done by a lot of the other states. And they go in there, and what they've done, they've gone into the schools, and the schools not understanding what Sharia law is, because they don't understand that Sharia law in fact is the religion or the basis of the religion for the radical Muslim. They don't understand it. They accept it as what we understand to be a law.
Right. Crazy.
Because CARE is headed up by the jihadists or the Muslims who believe in all this crap. It is
Islamic,
yeah. I lose my words here these days. But they're the ones heading all this up, and they're going into the schools. And they're allowing them to go into these schools and teach this crap because they're calling it law. It's not a religion. It's a law. And I have...
It's not an American law. It doesn't matter.
But see, this is what they don't argue, and this is what you've got to learn to argue. Well, if it's a law and it's not a religion, then we have the Bible, which teaches the law of, get it together, Corrine, a law of Christianity, in essence. Then we should be able to teach the laws of the Bible in our schools.
Well, exactly. It's the anti-Christian and the war on Christianity that's happening right here in America. We'll do everything we can to support the Muslim Brotherhood and the Muslim Islamist faith and everything else, and we'll teach Islam, but we won't teach Christianity.
Well, what they don't, and again, I'm going to say this, what they do not understand is by allowing them to teach this law in the schools instead of it being a law, they don't understand that they're helping to promote and indoctrinate our kids into radical Islamists.
Exactly.
And these people don't understand this.
Ignorance is not bliss, it's expensive.
Exactly.
Okay, I found this one thing on impeaching Barack Hussein Obama, President of the United States, for high crimes and misdemeanors. It's a six-page document, so I'm definitely not going to read the whole thing, but I'll read a little bit of it here just to let people know. And then again, go out to Michael Connelly blog or www.usjf.net. excuse me. Yeah, read just a little bit. Resolve that Barack Hussein Obama, President of the United States, is impeached for high crimes and misdemeanors, and that the following articles of impeachment be exhibited to the United States Senate. Articles of impeachment exhibited by the House of Representatives of the United States of America in the name of itself and of the people of the United States of America against Barack Hussein Obama, President of the United States. I'm hearing something in the background there. Have you got your music going?
Yeah, my TV is going out. Let me go kill it.
Okay.
No, I'm not going to kill it. I'm going to turn it down.
Yeah, we weren't taking you literally. Okay. Articles of impeachment exhibited by the House of Representatives of the United States of America in the name of itself and of the people of the United States of America against Barack Hussein Obama, President of the United States of America, in maintenance and support of its impeachment against him for high crimes and misdemeanors. Article 1. In his conduct... excuse me, hold on a second. My throat is just scratchy today. Sorry about that. Article 1. In his conduct while President of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama, in violation of his constitutional oath to faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States and to the best of his ability preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, and in violation of his constitutional duties to take care of the laws be faithfully executed, has willfully corrupted and manipulated the executive to increase his power to destroy the balance of powers, the free branch of government,
if you can hear me, my phone has died again.
Implement portions of the cap and trade bill that failed to pass the U.S. Senate, ordering implementation of portions of the DREAM Act that failed to pass in Congress, orchestrating a government takeover of a major part of the automobile industry in 2009, ordering a moratorium on new offshore oil and gas exploration and production without approval of Congress, signing the executive order on March 16, 2012, giving himself and the executive branch extraordinary powers to control and allocate resources such as food, water, energy, health care, resources, etc., in the interest of a vaguely defined national defense issue, it would amount to a complete government takeover of the U.S. economy. Okay. F, signing an executive order on July 6, 2012, giving himself and the executive branch the power to control all methods of communication in the United States based on a presidential declaration of national emergency. signing an executive order on January 6, 2013 that contained 23 actions designed to limit the individual rights to keep and bear arms guaranteed by the Second Amendment of the Constitution. H, amending portions of the Affordable Health Care Act and other laws passed by Congress without congressional approval as required by Article 1 of the Constitution. Then Article 2. Okay, in Article 2, 1. Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution mandates that from time to time the President shall give the Congress information on the State of the Union. Implicit in this is an obligation for the President to be truthful with the Congress and the American people. Obama has repeatedly violated his oath of office and the requirement of the Constitution by willfully withholding information on important issues or activity taken part in misleading the Congress and the American people. Specifically, actions include, but are not limited to, not necessarily limited to, using executive privilege to block Congress from getting documents related to the DOJ's Operation Fast and Furious and the death of the U.S. citizen, United States Border Patrol, Brian Terry. B, had members of his administration provide false information about the act of terrorism committed in Benghazi, Libya, on September 11, 2012, and refusing to allow the State Department and other federal agencies to cooperate in the congressional investigation. C, falsely labeled the mass murder of American soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, as workplace violence instead of an act of Islamic terrorism, it was. Falsely labeling the IRS targeting of conservative and Christian groups as a phony scandal and refusing to order an active pursuit of the investigation into who was ultimately responsible. E, refusing to order an independent investigation of the actions of Eric Holder and the DOJ in targeting the phone records of members of the news media. F, telling the American people on a television show that the NSA was not prying into emails and phone calls of Americans when the facts prove otherwise. 2, the oath of office of the President of the United States requires him to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution. This obviously includes what may be the most important part of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. Obama has repeatedly violated his oath of office by seeking to limit both individual rights and the rights of the states guaranteed in the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. Excuse me. Okay, let's see. First 10 amendments of the Constitution. Specifically included, but are not necessarily limited to, having the Department of Health and Human Services order religious institutions and businesses owned by religious families to provide their employees free contraception and other services that are contrary to their religious beliefs. This is being done under the auspice of the Affordable Health Care Act and violates the Religious Freedom Clause of the First Amendment. Having the military place restrictions on the religious freedom of the chaplains and other members of the military in order to favor gay right advocates and atheists in the violation of the Fifth Amendment. C, having the military place restrictions on the freedom of speech of members of the military and the civilian employees of the DOD, Department of Defense, in violation of their rights under the First Amendment, using executive orders and government agency actions to limit Second Amendment rights. This includes actions by the Veterans Administration to disarm American veterans without due process as required by the Fifth Amendment. Having the National Security Agency intercept and monitor the private communication of millions of Americans without a court order and in violation of the Fourth Amendment. F, joining with foreign governments in lawsuits against sovereign U.S. states to prohibit them from enforcing immigration laws. This is in violation of the Tenth Amendment. G, filing suits under the Voting Rights Act against sovereign U.S. states to prevent them from enforcing voter ID laws, despite rulings by the Supreme Court upholding these laws. This is another violation of the Tenth Amendment and the balance of powers. Number three, under Article 2, Section 2, of the Constitution, the President of the United States is the Commander-in-Chief of the United States military, and as such, is responsible for using them in any manner that best serves the national security of the United States of America and protects our soldiers from unnecessary risks and harm. Obama has violated his oath of office in this regard. Specific actions include, but are not necessarily limited to, A, in the name of political correctness, he imposed unnecessary and dangerous rules of engagement on our troops in combat, causing them to lose offensive and defensive capabilities and putting them in danger. Many American service personnel have been killed or wounded as a result of this policy. B, releasing the identity of American military personnel and units engaged in dangerous and secret operations, such as the killing of Osama bin Laden by Navy SEAL Team 6. See, this is releasing the identity of American personnel, military personnel, putting them at risk. And C, Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution gives Congress the exclusive powers to declare war. Yet, without consulting Congress, President Obama ordered the American military into action in Libya. In all of this, Barack Hussein Obama has undermined the integrity of his office, has brought disrepute on the presidency, has betrayed his trust as president, and has acted in a manner subversive to the rule of law and justice, to the manifest injury of the people of the United States. Wherefore, Barack Hussein Obama, by such conduct, warrants impeachment and trial and removal from office and disqualification to hold and enjoy any office of honor, trust, or profit under the United States. Okay, that is what it has. So I ended up I was able to read the whole thing. Did not think I was going to be able to get through it all, but I did. Again, this is Michael Connolly, and you can go to Michael Connolly blog or www.usjf.net and get some more information on this. And I'm going to print a copy of it, and I'm going to start faxing it all over the place. Let's see here. Well, we just don't know what happened to Miss Doreen. Apparently, Miss Texas. Apparently, her cell phone really took a nosedive, and she's not even out there in the chat room. Usually, she'd be back out there in the chat room. So, we're down to about 10 minutes here. And I want to go back to what I was saying in the beginning. Be Americans. That means being an American means you are an individual and you do not choose to be common. This means you want, and as I was reading earlier, I do not choose to be a common man by Dean Alphonage. It is my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. And if you're out there listening, I just saw a note, excuse me, I'm going to back up here just a minute. I just saw a note from Blog Talk Radio. We are currently experiencing issues with our host dial-in numbers and guest dial-in numbers. Engineers are working to fix now. We'll update soon. So that could be what the real problem is. And I have no idea if anybody is hearing me out there. So, right now, it's about 8:45. We're just about finished here. You may be hearing me. You may not. I'll find out sometime tomorrow. Anyway, I'm going to continue to read this. I do not choose to be a common man. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled or dulled by having the state look after me. That's what being an American is. You're not kept citizens, what they're calling it here. But you do not want to be kept by the state. That's not what being an American is. Being an American is independent and free and doing your own thing, being responsible for yourself. You have the opportunity to be extremely successful. You have the opportunity to fail. That's what being an American is about. And this goes, I want to take the calculated risk to dream and to build, to fail and to succeed. That's what being an American is. I refuse to barter incentive for a dole. I prefer the challenge of life to the guaranteed existence, the thrill of fulfillment to the stale calm of utopia. I will not trade freedom for the benefits, nor my dignity for a handout. I will never cower before any master, nor bend to any threat. That's what being an American is. I will never cower before any master, nor bend to any threat. That is so much of what an American is. We will not bow to King Obama. It is my heritage to stand erect, proud, and unafraid, to think and to act for myself, enjoy the benefits of my creation, and to face the world boldly and say, "This I have done." All this is what it means to be an American. This is what it means to be an American. And I would ask on those words that the free Obama phone is not what it means to be an American. If you're an American, give the phone back. Now, there are some people who are in true need, and American people want to help those in true need. We believe in that. We want that. However, those who are of able mind and body, who are able to contribute to the society, be a productive, useful contributor to the society in the free marketplace, to do your job, to take care of your own, that's what being an American is. If you choose to leech off of the system, you're not even a serf. You don't even, because a serf, a slave, a peasant, whatever you want to call it, they at least do work for their keep. They don't have control. They don't have freedom, but they work. A leech is a parasite. It's a parasite that just sucks the blood out of anybody and anything it can get. It will never work. It's a scavenger. It'll take the work from others. It will consume the work and the effort of others while being too lazy and useless to do it, to be productive and participate. You think that everybody owes you a living. Well, let me tell you something. Nobody owes me a living, and nobody ever gave me one. I'm out there working, and I will do what I can to help others. But I do not like to support leeches who could do things, could work and be productive, but somehow think, how many ways can I screw the system and steal from the people? Now, we know, I mean, that's all politicians do. That is what a politician is. The politician, what's the difference of a politician and an American statesman? Politician works for the next election. A statesman works for the next generation. Politicians that are the parasites of this government. And the Americans who leech off, and Americans, illegals, any the people who leech off of this government, any way, shape, or form, are the parasites that need to be exterminated. You do not have the right to steal from me. You do not have the right to benefit because you are too lazy to do anything else. Be an American. Be an American. It is my heritage to stand erect, proud, and unafraid, to think and act for myself, enjoy the benefits of my creations, and to face the world boldly and say, "This I have done." All this is what it means to be an American. Please, be Americans. Stop the divide and conquer mentality. Be Americans. Hold true to what the American spirit is. And do not cave in. Do not bend. I will never cower before any master nor bend to any threat. That's what it means to be an American. And on that note, I'm going to leave it there because I really don't know if anybody can even hear me. We're going to drop off just a couple minutes early. Please be united. Please be Americans. Support each other. Support Americans and defend our Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And on that note, May God bless the United States of America. Good night, everyone.